professional athletes harassing actors in airports and playing practical jokes on everybody, both male and female stalkers, politicians' kids, family brawls, cops running fake lie detector tests, you name it. Want to turn your bad mood into a good mood? Check out my book online at badmoodgoodmood.com. That's badmoodgoodmood.com.
The holiday season is here. Do you want to carve your turkey or ham oh so right and so fresh? Or do you want your relatives to complain about your knives again?
Why are your knives so dull?
Of course, no one wants to hear that. So bring your knives back to life at Bertarelli Cutlery. They can put a sharp edge back on your knives and get you ready for the holiday season. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, located at 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
It's Denise from the Appliance Discounters, and my brother Tony and I want to make it easy for you to shop local. At Appliance Discounters, you'll see a huge selection of appliances on display in kitchen suites. You'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable sales associate. Your appliance selection and service will always be at the very lowest price, and if you have any questions or need service after the sale, you can even speak directly to the owners. So be proud of your purchase and shop local with the Appliance Discounters at any of the six showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
2018 Mizzou basketball season tickets are on sale now. Head coach Konzo Martin and your Missouri Tigers will be back in Mizzou Arena November 6th and need you in the stands all year long to continue the best home court advantage in the country. Order your season tickets today at MUTigers.com or call 1-800-CAT-PAWS. That's 2018 Mizzou basketball season tickets on sale now at MUTigers.com or by calling 1-800-CAT-PAWS.
When you want to watch the game, head to Kirkwood Brewhouse. Kirkwood Brewhouse has 14 humongous screen TVs, so you won't miss a minute of the Blues game, NFL game, or college football game, exclusively featuring ice-cold Missouri craft beers. Kirkwood Brewhouse is your hangout this sports season.
Grizz Nation, it's a kids-free game as your Grizzlies host the New York Knicks Sunday, November 25th at a special 5 p.m. start. Purchase one regularly priced terrace ticket and get a free kids ticket for any child 12 years and under. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com today and get Memphis.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
How many more weeks till Thanksgiving?
Life can be so sweet.
None. This is it.
Sunny,
what?
Sunny street.
That's right.
In the shade with those blue on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I am a proud, ignorant woman, and no one is going to change that.
They shouldn't. You'd be proud of that.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet.
Where?
On the sunny side of the street.
Oh, yeah, on the sunny side of the street. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the November 19th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. A short week this week. Normally we put in a grueling 4 days, 3 hours a day, which is 12 hours a week. This week is shorter because even though we went to management and said, could we please, finally, for the first year ever, would you let us work on Thanksgiving? And I mean, they didn't hesitate. No!
Yeah.
So we tried. But they're not going to let us work Thanksgiving. Every once in a while, I like to introduce the people in the room, you know, at the beginning of the show. We don't do that very often, and normally that's the way you do things. You know, when there's a concert, somebody says, now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Bruno Mars, or whoever it is. So I'd like to just quickly around the room introduce you new folks to first our control board operator. He's Trevor Limey Limestone Phillips. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
In the glass box quarantine room, we have Dan Strauss. Dan, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
And juggling about 8 different jobs, Tim Woodburn. Tim, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. With a friendly reminder, it's only 88 days until Valentine's Day.
I was just wondering today how long it was to Valentine's Day. Well, isn't that something?
I like to remind people of holidays.
Oh,
I like to remind people when special days are coming up.
Yeah.
Hey, when you were in school, did any of you have to do that? When I was in grade school, they had a box, and,
yep.
and you put Valentine's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And then mm-hmm. the teacher would reach in and go, Helen, you have a Valentine. I don't even remember how that was supposed to work or what it was supposed to do, because there's always that kid who didn't get a Valentine from anybody. It's kind of cruel. You know, it's not fair. And then, of course, the teacher, at least one of my teachers I remember, noticed that, you know, Jimmy or somebody didn't get a Valentine. So she wrote a Valentine for mm-hmm. Jimmy, and she put, like, secret admirer, mm-hmm. which I thought was really nice, because then, well, the problem is then Jimmy leaves class thinking, oh, man, I've got a secret. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're a loser, and the teacher just trying to make you feel better, and nobody likes you.
Nobody loves you, Jimmy.
Just today.
Yeah, nobody loves you, and you're nobody's Valentine, yes.
Just this morning, I drove by Forder Elementary School. I went to school on Telegraph Road, and in sixth grade, I remember the boxes on everybody's desk where you would drop the Valentines in, but you could do them anonymously. You didn't have to write names on them, right? And there was this pretty boy named Darren Roberts who was in my class, and he'd always get Valentines that say stuff like, want to make out? You know,
in sixth grade,
yeah, and well, I get Valentine's that say, you know, things like "Stop staring at me on the playground."
Yeah. Don't ever talk to me again.
Yeah, stop staring Valentine's at me card. On the playground, Bob.
Oh, man. Well, this explains a lot. You're scarred psychologically from childhood. People not wanting to have anything to do with you, and it messed you up the rest of your life. I remember there was, you know, I think it's about, what would you say the average boy starts to really, really get interested in girls and want to, like, I wonder what it'd be like to kiss her, you know? I say sixth grade.
I was two.
I'd say around
you,
9
You were 2 years old?
I'd say around 9 or 10 years old.
You know, I just binged watch Ozark this weekend, and there's a scene where the dad walked in on his kid watching porn. And what was the kid? Was that kid about Jonah? He's about like 11, 12. I think that was a tad early for me for a kid. I would think maybe 14.
I think he's about 13.
No. Oh, 13, no. Average. No. Average has got to be like 12, not
really?
14.
Wow.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Oh,
wow.
In second grade, I used to chase this girl around. Her name was Dana Keevan.
Sexual harassment.
I would
do that
chase
anymore.
Her around the playground, and then she would stop at this wall, and I would run up, and I would kiss her on the cheek and run away.
How old were you?
I was in second grade.
And then
seven or eight?
And then the first day of third grade, she showed up wearing a shirt that said hashtag me too.
Yeah, Dan is the only second grader in history to have a restraining order
again. Yeah.
from another second grader. Wow.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, I told you before, I didn't get to kiss a girl like on the lips till I was 15. I think that's kind of old for now.
Was she awake?
Yep, that's old.
Oh, you know what? Real good. I get it. Cosby joke.
Frank's nickname in high school was Rohypnol.
No, it was Bill Cosby. So, yeah, 15, which I think today is would be considered, what? 15? You never kissed a girl? My neighbor... I've told the story before. Eventually, I will be telling every story for the second time. But he told me one day, and we're in the yard playing, he goes, hey, my cousin's coming up from Rome, Georgia. He had a cousin, a female cousin, lived in Rome, and she was 15. Now, we're 12. He says, she's coming to visit for the week. And I said, oh, okay. He goes, oh, yeah, well, she knows how to French kiss. If you want, she'll French kiss you. Now, I didn't know what that meant. And when you don't, not only when you're a kid, when you're an adult, you don't like to seem stupid. And I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, she's good at it, too. And I said, oh, great. And then I had to go ask, I don't even remember who I asked, what's French kissing? And then, of course, you get, oh, man, what are you talking about? What, you don't know what French kissing? No, I didn't. I don't know. What is it? And then I think the explanation was, well, she puts her tongue in your mouth while she's kissing.
Yeah, that's what? How I knew what it was. French kissing was kissing with tongues.
Yeah, tongues touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure enough, she came to town, and we had a woods, a common kind of area, all the little rental houses. There was a woods behind our house. He said, you take her down in the woods, she'll French kiss you. And then I couldn't do it. I was so nervous and scared. The visit came and went. She went back to Georgia, and I was mad. You ever do that like you're mad? Oh, I could have French kissed her, and I blew it.
Mm-hmm. You know what the difference?
And I still remember that.
You know what the difference is between a French kiss and a Polish kiss?
What?
A French kiss is when you stick your tongue down her mouth. A Polish kiss is when you stick your tongue on a sewer lid.
I don't even know why that's funny. But it is. Wow.
Because it's
I don't
so
even know how this came up. Except, here, Thanksgiving is Tuesday, 3 days away.
What?
The forecast is good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forecast is good. I know. Almost like bumping 60 degrees and sunny. That's going to be great.
And California, actually, is supposed to get some rain like Wednesday and Thursday.
Too late.
They got to be thrilled to death with that. Speaking of that, now they're approaching 10,000 homes that were completely burned up. And that's a lot of houses. That's more homes than are in lots of towns in the United States. And now what are they at the body count? Like almost 100 or something?
In the 80s.
Man, oh man. And missing, there are like 1,000 people missing or something.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I gotta tell you, that's to me, of all the ways you can go, burning. Ugh. No. That's that's not one of the ways I'd
That's my third
go.
Least favorite way to do. I'd say the most
drowning?
Fearful. No. My first biggest fear of dying is getting eaten by a shark.
That's not gonna happen. What are the chances of that happening?
Maybe I go scuba diving. Next thing you know, there's a shark. It thinks I'm tasty. You know? It could happen.
Has bothered me. I've been in the ocean younger, when I was a lot younger. I never thought of that. Ever. Yep. Even after Jaws came out. What's your second worst thing?
Like if you go skydiving and the parachute doesn't open.
Okay, you know what the chances of that happening would be? Like almost none. People jump every day.
That is
every day.
Excellent. Good for them. I would love to go skydiving, but wouldn't that just be a terrible way to go? You know, I mean, you can just see the ground coming towards you. You know, you don't have to wonder how much time do I have left. You can see it coming, you know?
Have you done it? Have you been skydiving?
No, I have not. Not yet.
Would you want to do it?
Yes.
The
first one, though, I'm going to do that. What is it? The tandem, where they you're attached to somebody and then you jump out. Sure, I'll do that.
Well,
but
there are two ways to do it. The first time, you can do tandem, where you're attached to somebody, and I guess they still do this. It's called a static line jump, where there's a line attached to your ripcord handle, and when the slack lets out, now let's say it's 30 feet, you jump out of the plane, and there's this tether, and once it is reached its limit. And it pulls the ripcord for you. And the reason for that is there are lots of people who black out and pass out as soon as they jump out. Now, if you're unconscious, that's not good because you can't pull the ripcord when you're sleeping and you just hit the ground. So they do what's called a static line jump. But I don't ever hear of people doing that anymore. So I'm wondering if for some reason they did away with it, because that's how I did it. And thank goodness it was, because I did black out. As soon as I jumped out of the plane, everything went black. Boom, out like a light. And in 5 seconds, this thing pulled to the cord and the chute opens. And man, from that minute on, it was fantastic.
Once did you wake up then?
What woke me up was the pulling.
The ground.
When it opens. No, when I hit the ground, I woke up. No, when it opens, when the chute opens and you're falling, it jerks you up, because obviously you're going from free fall to controlled
controlled descent,
accelerated fall. Yeah,
you know, frankly,
but it was. I'm glad I did it. I think I may do it again before I die. I'm not kidding. My entire rest of my all these years, I've said I'll never do that again because it was so frightening. But when something happens when you get older, you're not as afraid. I can't explain it. I would do it again.
But you do poop in your pants.
No, I would not.
Well, it depends.
I didn't do that.
Tim's been trying to say something here for the past 10 minutes.
He's fine. I was just curious. You know, Frank, you talk a lot on the air. Go back to these California wildfires. You talk a lot on the air about how you live in an isolated area in Wildwood. There's a lot of woods around you. Trick-or-treaters don't come to your home, so I'm not giving away where you live. I mean, you've talked about all this. But I'm just curious.
I'm not worried about giving away where I live. You can go to Google and find that. Anybody can find that.
Fair enough. Right. How far away from your semi-secluded house in the woods, how far away would a fire have to be from your house before you told Mrs. Pinion and the little Pinions, it's time to bail?
I think a mile.
A mile?
I think if you it gets to a mile.
That? Oh, God. I'd be going way before that.
Really?
To try and pack up the stuff I wanted?
No, you're right, though. A mile's pretty close. Maybe 5 miles.
Yeah.
But I don't think any farther than that.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. A lot of these California people are thinking, like, you know what? Yeah, we'll get out when it gets to within a mile. We'll get out when it gets to within a half mile, and then it's here.
Yeah, it's like it moves fast.
Well, because why else would that many people die unless they thought they could? I mean, what are you going to do, hunker in the basement while the fire ravages your house from the ground up? I mean, I don't understand why
some of the people that died were older, and they just couldn't move fast enough.
Okay.
They couldn't scramble out in time. And the others are just the same as those people who are in hurricane areas or tornado areas or flood areas. And they go, we're sitting it out. We're going to stay with our house. Some of it's that. But of all those things, flooding, earthquake, the one I would mess with the least is fire. I'm not going to sit around and, you know, wait it out. No, not with a fire. I'm out of there. Because you know what, if it comes and your house is 10 feet under, there's a chance you could get a life jacket and float up and sit on the roof of your house. If fire comes, there's nothing. You're done. You're toasted. And there's no way that you're going to make it if that fire comes through and just takes your house. It's going to take everything and you too. So that's the one I wouldn't mess with. Hurricane, okay, hunker down. Maybe you'll make it. You're not making it with a fire. Because I don't think anybody has a fire shelter. And people have escape ideas and mechanisms and for, you know, flooding. There's nothing you can build, I don't think, unless it's way underground. And then how are you going to breathe? Because you got to get air from above, and you're sucking in all that smoke and toxic stuff. No, fire's not to mess with. Speaking of these homes, if I say mansion to around the room, Limey, what is a mansion? What kind of home would be designated as a mansion? What does that mean?
I'd say a swimming pool, like, you know, 4 or 5 car garage, 8 bedrooms, something like that. Yeah. Okay. To me, that would be a mansion.
Dan, mansion. What does that mean to you?
A mansion's a big old house, at least 2 stories with, like Limey said, 8 to 10 rooms, something like that, a bunch of bathrooms.
You know, they were going around, I was thinking, am I going to go price? Am I going to go size? Am I going to go when it was built? Probably the combination of 10,000 square feet and worth at least $1 million.
Now, what's interesting is there is no definite. In other words, there's no list. It has to be this. It doesn't exist. And if to you it's a mansion, then it's a mansion. I read this article and it had a bunch of different real estate people, and what caused it was I saw an article and there was a picture of a house that looked pretty much like a lot of 2-story houses. Hey, I'll give you a good example. Graceland, Elvis's house. Presley, that Graceland is no bigger than millions of houses. It's just not. But it's always been called a mansion.
I was shocked at how small the house was inside.
And the rooms, and how small the rooms are.
Yeah.
Like a little bitty living room. A kitchen. Yeah. The kitchen is no different than most kitchens. It's not that big a deal.
No.
It's just a little kitchen. but it's called Imagine. I think it has to do with where it is, the square footage, certainly. I don't think any 1,000-square-foot house is a mansion. So to me, it's size. It's really mostly about size. And, of course, if it's in the right location, price. But I just found it interesting.
That's what she said.
Nobody has a real clear definition of what a mansion is. I'd like to throw in a bonus joke, if I could. And the reason I want to do it, again, sometimes I like to throw in a joke that's an example of the things we don't go for. And maybe it will stop people from sending me things like this, because while you may think it's funny, it's another slam at marriage. And it's making fun of marriage, and I don't appreciate it. And here quickly is the joke. And to whoever sent it to me, I know you meant well, but marriage is a sacred thing, and it's the greatest thing in my life.
What?
And here's the joke. Guy and his wife been married about 25, 30 years, and they're sitting on the porch, and he's drinking a beer. And he just says, just out of nowhere, he just says, I love you. She says, is that you talking, or is that the beer talking? He says, it's me talking to the beer. Now, that's nervous laughter. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not funny. That's not a funny joke. It's not funny in anybody's definition.
Right.
So, yeah. So, Burke segment goes like this. Does anybody have anything to say? Come on now. It's been a whole weekend. Surely something's happened that is interesting.
Well, I'd like to talk about meat for a second. That's my best
all right.
segment.
Mm-hmm. Now, here to talk about meat is Trevor Limey Limestone Phillips. Take it away, Meat Man. And
all
the
right.
Meat Man knows the finest meat memoir.
Mary Rose.
You wouldn't know that, Limey, but that
no
used
idea
to be
what
big,
you just did.
Well, that used to be a big campaign in St. Louis. There, Mayrose was a company, and they had meat. And this is one of the jingles, while I think most jingles are a waste of money, this one, I guess because of the frequency and just the simplicity of it, it's one like Maul's. Don't baste your barbecue, Maul it. It actually did what it was supposed to do. I'm a meat man. And it was a little cartoon butcher.
Yeah.
Said, I'm a meat man, and the meat man knows the finest meat man are Mayrose.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
What's your meat contribution?
Well, no, for the second time in my life on Saturday, I ate carnitas. And I got to say, I am a fan of that style of meat. That's funny.
I'm sorry, I only heard part of the story. You ate what meat?
Hang on a second. Let me say it in American for a second. Carnitas. Is that better? You understand?
You meant.
Yeah, right.
Carnitas. Now tell people like me what that is. I don't think I've ever had a carnitas.
Yeah. All right, believe it is a pork joint that is slow cooked for a very, very long time, and then
pork
it's kind
joint?
Of
joint. I've never even heard of a pork joint.
Well, yeah, it's a all right. Well, it's a big slab of
marijuana
pork.
Cigarette stuffed with
yeah, it is stuffed with bacon. That's my kind of joint.
So carnitas is like a folded over thing, like a flour shell. No.
Yeah, you can. You can eat it with a taco, burrito. How you eat it is really kind of up to you. But the carnitas, I believe, is just the actual meat itself, and you get some kind of like pico de gallo. But absolutely delicious. So you slow cook it, and then when it's just about done, you take it out of the pot and you lay it on a tray, and you kind of pull it apart, and then you season it some more, throw it back in the oven, let it crisp up and whatnot. Oh man. It is absolutely phenomenal.
This sounds like something.
I like.
Did you make it yourself?
No, I did not make this. This was my friend had a birthday party, and the theme was tacos. So we had a whole different variety, and I got to eat some carnitas and stuff like that.
And in Limey's defense, pork joint, Frank, is a butcher's term. It's a pork roast. It's a pork loin. It's a joint. It's just another synonym for roaster. Or
thank you, Tim.
Right.
And let's get back to this friend. This friend is female, I'm guessing.
Mm. Yep, and she has a boyfriend. I believe he's about 6'5", 280 pounds. So
what is that? What difference does that make?
That means she's no man's land. Okay, like
no
off limits.
No. Not if the right man comes along and replaces this other guy, and that is possible. You're selling yourself short here. Does he have an accent? I bet not.
He does not have an accent.
See, right there, one in the plus column for you. Women like the accent thing.
All right, let me just mark this
is he
down.
Fat? Is he fat or too short or something?
No, no, no. He is a big dude. He is a tall guy.
Maybe he's too big. Some women don't like a guy that's too big. I'm telling
Maybe.
You, you like her. I can tell you like her, don't you?
I mean, she's a very
that means
good
yes.
friend.
No, sure. That hesitation meant, yeah, you like her. This guy is in the way. No, he's in the way.
See, Limey's definition of a platonic friend is a guy in a glass case. In case of emergency, break open glass.
Mm.
Limey's on the on-deck circle here, Frank. Clearly, he's in the on-deck circle.
I'm on the on-deck circle.
Bat in hand, gripping it, and the ready to rip it.
Now, with the exception of this, with the exception of this carnita-making woman who has a guy who's kind of in the way, do you currently have a female sort of love interest?
I do not. Nope.
That's a shame.
I am single.
Well, that's very temporary.
Yeah.
You will have somebody soon. Do you have anything else for the Burke segment?
No, that was, I just kind of wanted to talk to everybody else about, like, you know, I think I'm going to make these carnitas myself, but I think I'm going to have, like, you know, a meat buffet, if you will, where I'm just going to make different kind of meats, and I kind of wanted to get, say, some of your recipes, or do you guys know any good rub recipes? I have one that I kind of make every now and again that I think is really good. I'm a fan of it. So, you know, I just wanted to get some input on your meat thoughts.
Well, my go-to for that.
My follow-up question for you is, after you ate your carnitas, did you eat your pudding?
I did eat my pudding because I ate my meat.
Attaboy.
There you go.
What does that mean?
That's a Pink Floyd reference.
That's a Pink Floyd reference, yes.
Yeah. See, you guys do that to me all the time. You throw in these references from this music that I don't know.
You meat, you can't have any pudding. You never heard that?
You can't have your pudding if you don't drink.
Isn't that the beginning to Brick in the Wall?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Brick in the Wall.
It's a really famous song.
We don't need no education.
All right, well, I know what I need.
You guys get together and have your own meeting without me and say, here, let's make a list of things that make Frank look stupid.
We do our own show from one. We do our own show from 1 to 3, and then you come on.
I'd like to hear it. But it's good. Anything else, Limestone?
No, that's it. Actually, yeah. I recommend watching The Ballad of Buster Scruggs on Netflix. I watched it yesterday. Pretty cool. It's by the people who did Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I think Fargo. And it's just it's six.
What's it about?
It's six separate little stories, and it's all set in the Wild West. Pretty good. I'd recommend it.
I like the Wild West. I would watch that. I'd give that a shot.
And you wanted a rub recipe. All you have to do is get a little porn.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, I'm with you, Randy. That wasn't that funny. So that's it, Limestone, for your...
That's all I got.
Born in some Anybody? Lotion.
Anybody else?
I got a quick one.
God. All right, this is Tim Woodburn, everybody. Tim?
Thank you, Frank. Welcome. Binged watch Ozark this weekend per your heavy recommendation of how much you enjoyed that show. I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and my favorite. I'm just going to give you one favorite line because there's actually some funny comedy things that occur in this show, even though it's really a kind of a dramatic, sad, psychotic show. But in the second to last episode, the guy that's living in the basement of Matthew Bateman's house, you know, the guy that sold him the house, but he's still living in the basement, and he comes up.
Right, he's a great character, by the way.
He is perfect for that. He is, and the Mexican cartel guy comes into their house, and he's getting ready to shoot their whole family to death because things are getting kind of crazy, and he puts a shotgun up and looks at the guy in the face, and he goes, "You know what I think? I think you need to shut your tamale hole."
Tamale hole.
And then he blows him away.
How's that for a line?
Jesus. Shut your tamale hole.
Isn't the Ozark the one with that fiery, foul-mouthed blonde? What's her name? Rosie? What you know what I'm talking about? Is that the show that has her in there? Nope. Maybe I'm thinking about something else.
Ozark's a show about the Mexican cartel and the guy that launders money down in Lake of the Ozarks after he goes from Chicago.
I'm telling you, I'm going to give you another one you'll like, and that's it's down now. The second season's, I guess, coming up at some point. Yellowstone, Kevin Costner.
Right.
Really good.
Right.
Really good. Mm. Anything else?
No, just shut your tamale hole.
Dan, anything for the Burke segment?
I do have something.
All right, this is Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank. I came in to work very aggravated and ticked off at a restaurant. A restaurant that's all over the place. It's called Cracker Barrel.
Oh.
And I'm so mad. They have this deal where you can order Thanksgiving dinner. And then you take it home and you heat it up and everything. And it's great. It's like $110. You get pie with it and everything.
How many people is that supposed to feed for $110?
Ten people.
That is a good deal.
I know. So we were gonna do this because
hang on a second. Hang on, just a second. Let's see, $110, and that's three, 10 people. So per person,
$6.02.
$6.02. That's what I got.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds right.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. So I called yesterday to order, and this guy answers the phone and is talking to me, and I said, listen, I wanted to find out what the sides are. And he goes, oh, we don't have all of that yet, so you're going to have to call back tomorrow. We don't have the sides or anything ready to go, so you call back tomorrow. And I thought, this is odd, because we're only a few days from Thanksgiving. So I call back today, and the girl says, oh, we're completely sold out of those. We only had so many to sell, and we're sold out. And I said, I talked to a guy yesterday that told me to call today to order it. And she goes, would you like to talk to the manager? I'm like, you're damn right I would.
Did you say, by the way, I'm Dan Strauss?
No. No,
you know
I didn't.
Who I am?
No. Oh, okay. I said, I'm John Hadley. So you listen to me, and you
and
know
she says,
how
no
I like
way.
To eat.
There's no way. She says, there's no way you're John Hadley, because I can understand every word you say.
Dan, that reminds me of the best, I mean, far and away, the best freak out I ever witnessed in my life inside a grocery store was on...
It's not finished yet.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. My apologies. I thought I was going to add to what you were talking about. The best freak out I've ever seen in my life, ever, not even close second, was this woman who walked into Deerberg's in Fenton when I had just moved back to St. Louis in 2006, and she walked into Deerberg on Thanksgiving Day, right? And she had bought her order of a whole turkey and the sides and the whole bit, and they gave her the sides, and then they hand her the turkey, and it's already sliced and pre-cut up. She goes, no, I ordered a whole turkey. I didn't want it sliced. And they go, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. This is the last one. We're about to close in 15 minutes. This is what must have been a mix-up. Somebody else must have got your turkey, but here you go. She had a meltdown because everybody that was coming to her house now was going to know that she didn't prepare her own turkey.
Oh.
She was trying to fake and bake it.
No.
She was trying to fake and bake it. She threw the most massive S-fit I have ever seen in my life, to the point where the manager of the store, I thought they were going to have to call 911. The woman was, like, having convulsions, and she was, like, down on one knee at one point, and they're calling around to other stores asking them if they got any turkeys left that they can rush over, and they were going to have one cabbed over, or they were going to go get one. And I'm just standing around waiting for this nightmare to, you know, it's like watching a car wreck, you know. I could have left, but I wanted to kind of stick around and see how big of a meltdown this woman was going to have.
Yeah.
And it was the all-time classic.
Oh, man.
How many people do you think do that? I'll bet you'd be surprised at how many people pull that.
Oh, my mom.
The turkey, stick it in the oven, act like, okay, woo, it's perfect.
Exactly.
You know, your mom did it?
No, my mom used to do it with pies all the time.
Oh, a lot of people do that.
And she would put the pies, like a Mrs. Smith or whatever kind of pie it was, she would put it in her glass dish.
Pyrex dish.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
she switch it out?
And then she would take it and
to Thanksgiving
party, and then she, fake and bake, and everybody, oh, what is your recipe for these pies, Carol? I can't. It's a whole family
would she
secret.
Then make? Oh, she would make up a recipe?
No, it's an old family secret.
I bet you'd be stunned how many people do that. No, I'm not kidding. It's easy. It's easy to do. What are they gonna know? You have the oven warm, and you have it in a glass dish, and you go with your mitts, and you pull it out.
Oh yeah,
it looks like it's done.
Yep.
Perfect. Who would know?
Oh man.
So
there are some things you can buy. I'm not kidding. I don't think most people could make them as well as you can buy. Like that frozen Stouffer's lasagna. That's still to this day
tremendous.
As good as any lasagna I have ever tasted.
It is.
Anything else?
Well, I'm not finished with the whole Cracker Barrel ordeal.
Oh,
so,
my apologies.
No,
that's right.
I get to that manager, and he says, there's not a thing we can do. We are completely out of turkey for that, because they only sent so many of those dinners to each Cracker Barrel. So I called another one that's not too far from the house. They're completely out. And then the guy says, well, there may be some left in O'Fallon or Herculaneum. So now I ended up calling Sandy, and I was so mad. Sandy's my girlfriend, but I was stringing because her kids are coming over Thursday and everything, and we're going to have Thanksgiving there, and then Alyssa's going to come over, and we're going to have a big old time. So now I'm calling the Herculaneum store, but I called Sandy, and I strung some cuss words together that don't even belong together and told her, I'm texting you the number, call them and see. Otherwise, we're going to try something else, because we're going to have to go with one of the grocery stores, but you have to order all that stuff today to have it by like Wednesday. So that's one thing that we're dealing with.
Well, there just shouldn't be as much pressure associated with Thanksgiving or Christmas or, you know.
No.
So if people don't know, you don't. Everybody knows my wife doesn't cook. So what? I mean, you know, it's just not that big a deal, but I'm trying to remember if we've ever pulled that swapping it out, putting into Pyrex, and acting like I don't think we ever have. I'll tell you, we did do, though. We sold a house one time, and the real estate agent pulled that, hey, if the house smells like cherry pie or something, you know, people feel more homey. So we actually did buy a pie, stuck in the oven, left the oven door slightly open, just warm enough that, you know, that people didn't buy the house. So isn't necessarily going to, you know, sell the house.
Does it smell like cherry pie? Anyway. I hate cherry pie.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cherry pie. Get me out of this house. Anything else?
No, I don't think I have anything else.
All right. Burke's segment is officially closed. We're going to take a quick break here. One of the things I like about this time of year, there's a lot that I don't like about it, but one of the things I like about it is it kind of makes you go back and remember when you were a kid, like just some great story about something you got for Christmas or you didn't get for Christmas, because this is when you start thinking about that. I got a couple of stories I'll share with you, and then we'll certainly, when we come back out of the break, if you want, we'll take your calls. And folks, we never care why you're calling. There's no theme here. There's no subject. You just call if you want to call. You got something you want to ask us? Ask us. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. This past Saturday, the yard sale seemed to be still on track and continuing to find its way at this different station, though it's the same original yard sale. So thank you for helping us get this thing where it needs to be. And I think that when you start thinking about things you're thankful for, it can kind of get kind of schlocky and corny, but how could we not be thankful for people like First Community Credit Union? You know, the yard sale used to be sold by the quarter. When we started it about 17, 18 years ago, we sold it by the quarter. First quarter of the year, January, February, March, one sponsor. Then there was another sponsor for the second quarter. And then along comes First Community Credit Union, and the response that they got was so good. They said, let's do another quarter. And the second quarter and the third quarter have now turned into years. They just sponsor it by the year. And to Glenn Barks and to Laura and to everybody at First Community Credit Union, I don't think you or anybody else will ever really understand how grateful we are for loyal advertisers who let this show do what it can do if you give it the time for it to work. And they have, and they're happy, and we're happy. And if you decide to change where you do your banking to First Community Credit Union, you're going to be happy too. It's not going to send you over the moon or be the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. It's banking, all right? It's banking. But like anything else, it is possible to do that and do it differently, and that's what First Community Credit Union has done. Yes, there are other credit unions. They're not the only one, but they're the largest one in the St. Louis area. I've done all my banking there now for several years, and every day, hundreds of people leave their banking facility, wherever it was, and become members of First Community Credit Union. I'd like for you to consider that. And here's their way of getting your attention and dangling something at you that you can't resist. If you can resist it, I think there's something wrong with you. Here it is. Car payment. Most people have a car payment. Move it from wherever it is to First Community Credit Union. It's easy. You go in and you just tell them you want to transfer. Move it. First Community Credit Union will reward you for that with $100. No strings, no fine print, just $100. They'll open an account for you at First Community. They'll put it in. Now you have an account with $100 in it. And all you did was move your car payment, which probably will bring you a second reward bonus in the form of a lower interest rate. They are famous for their competitive rates. So now you got $100. Good chance you also now have a lower car payment. How do you pass that up? And when people see what it's like to do business with First Community Credit Union, most of them end up just moving all their banking business there. That's it. That's it. In many ways, it's just like a lot of other places to bank. But in many other ways, it's a whole different experience. And you'll see, you'll never really get it till you become a member, and I hope you'll consider that. First Community Credit Union, where the popcorn is always fresh, the service is great, and the rates are very competitive. And they have over 40 locations in the St. Louis area, making them the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. If you would like to know more, go to this website, firstcommunity.com.
Let's get a check on traffic right now on 590 The Fan.
One accident of any impact reported right now. It's 44 eastbound at Grand. They're blocking the two left lanes, so you'll be backed up close to Vandeventer. This report sponsored by Sinex. If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex nasal sprays. It starts to work in seconds to clear your nose and lasts for up to 12 hours. So be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex nasal spray. Use as directed. I'm Joe Sonderman. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
2018 Mizzou basketball season tickets are on sale now. Head coach Consuel Martin and your Missouri Tigers will be back in Mizzou Arena November 6th and need you in the stands all year long to continue the best home court advantage in the country. Order your season tickets today at mutigers.com or call 1-800-CAT-PAWS. That's 2018 Mizzou basketball season tickets on sale now at mutigers.com or by calling 1-800-CAT-PAWS.
We don't need no education.
There you go, that's Pink Floyd, The Wall.
We don't need no education.
We have a visitor, a caller. His name is George. Let's bring him in here. George, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you? George?
What screen are you looking at?
I'm looking at a screen that says George.
That might be a mistake on Dan's part, because I do not see George on my screen.
Well, Dan typed it and put it on mine. Thank you, Dan. Way to go. No George.
George was there, and he dropped off.
Oh. Well, George's not very patient. He wasn't there very long.
Try Tim.
Okay.
All right, let's try Tim.
How you
Tim,
doing?
Welcome to... No, not you. Welcome to 590 The Fan, Tim. How are you?
It's not Tim, it's Jim, but that's your...
Okay, Jim. You know what? Wow. I'm going to come through this phone. I'm going to be unglued on everybody today. Cracker Barrel has pissed me off.
So, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, you guys are talking about taking stuff to work, food, or switching pies and stuff and telling people it's your own. We, when I was in the Air Force, used to have every Friday, one of the NCOs would take a cookies in for all the lower enlisted people. Well, I would go to this baker and get these oatmeal raisin cookies that were just phenomenal. And I would tell everybody I made them. And no one, because that was the whole thing to do. And they said, no, you aren't making these. I would literally, to fool them, take a blowtorch and heat the edges, cup off, and say they got burnt.
Nice.
Hey, I would say that's brilliant. That is brilliant, because if you bought them somewhere, they wouldn't sell you burnt cookies. I think that's ingenious. Sorry, I burnt a couple of them. That's a great idea.
9 years just went on, and I finally told them when I left the base I was at that I'd been buying these cookies there at Fort Walton Beach at a bakery.
Wow, that's for you folks who are planning on faking it for Thanksgiving. Listen to what Jim just said. Screw just a part of it up, and then it'll really look legit. Nobody will know.
I love the blowtorch.
It's a genius idea.
Yeah, good idea. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, guys. Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
You too. I was almost going to say he beat me to it, because I think we're close enough. We can say that now. Everything. So this weekend, I got one more little bit of business to do. Before I do that, though, I'm standing, and I've seen these before. I'm standing at a urinal. Now, for ladies who've never, I guess that's most of you, paid any attention, a urinal is a porcelain thing, and you walk up to it, and it's wiener high, and you just do your business in it. And then normally, when you walk away, it flushes itself if it's automatic, or you have a lever. Now, have you ever seen these waterless urinals? It says on there, water-free urinal. I've seen these before.
No,
I've never seen one of those.
This weekend, I'm standing in front of one, and I'm going, and I see the little tiny type, water-free urinal. Look it up. You can Google it. And I was fascinated by this. I thought, and it was clean. I mean, it was just so clean. I thought, how does this work? So I Googled. Do you ever go to look up something, and then after a lengthy explanation, you still have no idea?
Yep.
I couldn't understand what they were trying to tell me, but it is a waterless urinal. And at the airport, at Lambert, and Dan, I don't know if you remember this or not, when we take our trips, we all, you know, go to the restroom at Lambert. There's a fly.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I noticed it last time I went to go pick my dad up at the airport. There's a fly sticker in the urinal.
Yeah. And it's not a decal, and it's not a painting. It's a three-dimensional. It's like a real fly.
Yeah.
And you're standing there trying to hit it and drown it with your pee and then go anywhere. I thought, well, this little guy, he's determined to sit here through this pee shower, so I'm just going to drown him. No. It's the most realistic. Now, what's the purpose of that?
Because
I guess to get people to pee straight into the urinal.
Yeah, because just like you just said there, you want to aim to drown the fly. So, you know, everything goes into the bowl.
Where it's supposed to go.
That's exactly what it's there for.
Pretty smart. Very. Do you ever go to a urinal and they got one of those little roulette wheel things where if you pee on it, it spins the needle around and your pee actually spins? No, it's like a Wheel of Fortune kind of thing. That's kind of fun,
no,
too.
No, I've never seen that.
There you go, ladies. Now you know everything you didn't know about urinals. I talked to Tom Price fairly regularly because over the years, we've actually become very good friends, and as good a friend as I can have, because I don't have close friends, but we had a nice conversation this morning, and business is good, and pretty soon, in a matter of just a few months, we'll probably have some very big news, good news, about Thompson Price. The business is called Thompson Price Kitchens, Baths, Home, and the reason home is on there is not because they're home builders, they don't build homes, they enhance your home. They increase the value of your home. They make your home a place you, in many cases, you never want to leave or move from or sell, because you now have maybe, I don't know what most people would say is the most important room of the house, but I would go with kitchen for a lot of people, because it's not just a place to cook. It's a place to congregate. It's a place to sit at the center island and read the mail. It's a place to, in our case, watch TV. And then bathroom. A bathroom is a place that if people are looking with a realtor at a house, the women especially, they want to see that kitchen and they want to see that master bathroom. Important to me and a lot of guys, I think, is let's see the basement. Can a pool table go here? And where's our room we're going to be watching big screen TV and a great sound system in. But if you want to make that kitchen and bathroom something that'll change that house for the better, a lot of people will be willing to do it. Very few can do it perfectly. Thompson Price. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile from 270 on Manchester. And the website is thompsonprice.com. Do not go away. It's Monday. It's Tech Day. And I know for a fact Josh Bauman is going to have some really good ideas for you for high-tech but not expensive Christmas toys. And yes, I say Christmas, and I'll always say Christmas. And if it upsets anybody, find another show. So Josh Bauman on the way in just a matter of minutes after the news. Stay where you are. Thank you for being with us. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Some serious selling on Wall Street.